Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
Swangled in Fort
Lauderdale. I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I am your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Odyssey, Rockfin, Band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. We know you've got a million choices out there. You can also catch us as a radio show. Did you know that? We are on Fringe FM. We go out on Mondays and Fridays as well, if you're interested in checking that out. You can check out my other shows, Day Zero on the Forbidden Knowledge News Network, or The Union of the Unwanted, the best roundtable discussion happening in the world. Subscribe to those shows. You can, if you want to connect with me, the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, or go on Twitter at macroaggression, where I can get a little, a little off the hook there from time to time. Kind of surprised I'm still there. I'll be honest. I might have just jinxed myself, but whatever. If you're on Twitter, follow me there. Hey, thanks to our sponsors. We couldn't do it without their amazing support. My Patriot Supply has been nice enough to build us a landing page called preparewithmacroaggressions.com. The link is in the show notes. Get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. My goodness. For as little as $247, you can get yourself sorted out for a month for a family of four. If you are interested in getting a 3-month supply of food, you can do that too. They'll send you 6 buckets. It's 120 pounds of food. You can get a lot of people taken care of for that. It'll buy you some time when things go wrong. If you are interested in just having it in case of an emergency, if you're thinking about trading in some of your soon to be worthless Federal Reserve notes for something that will retain its value, my goodness, storable food, not the worst option out there. Not licensed to give investment advice and all that good stuff, but I see something that's going to retain its value, maybe even increase in value when there's no food left and you've got buckets of storable food. Well, maybe you've got something to bargain with. I don't know. Keep yourself alive. Keep yourself out of the grocery stores when it turns into gladiator school. You gotta be proactive, man. You gotta be thinking about this stuff. Prepare months in advance, years in advance, whatever. You know this is coming. We know this is coming. I wish that it weren't. I wish I was saying, well, you know, if you guys are, you know, if a comet ever comes and now you got food. It's not even theoretical anymore. It's coming. It's just, how bad is it going to be? That's really what we're not debating, whether or not there's going to be a massive food problem. We know there's going to be a massive food problem. Every single indicator says that. The question is, how massive? And is it going to affect you? And really, what is this going to look like? Are we going to be wishing we had made moves in advance? Well, look, now's your chance. Whether you do it through my sponsor, whether you do it on your own, I really don't care. As long as I know you're taken care of, then I'll feel better about the situation. But if you are so inclined and want to knock it out in 10 minutes, preparewithmacroaggressions.com. That landing page will get you there. They've got all sorts of products. Also, hey, thanks to C60 Purple Power. They are making the best C60 product out there. It's the highest quality. It's 100% certified organic. Their products are third-party tested for purity, concentration, and bioavailability. Free shipping inside the United States, third-party tested, sublimated C60, 99.99%. Pure sublimated C60. It's never exposed to solvents. I think that's why people are saying that, or, you know, Cliff High, if you like him, I like him. He's mentioned more than one occasion that he thinks C60 Purple Power is making the best batch out there because they're doing it a different way. They're doing it. They're never exposing it to solvents. It's produced in an FDA compliant GMP certified facility. It's made with 100% certified organic oils. It's good stuff. The guys that discovered the C60 molecule, they won the Nobel Prize for it. So it's kind of a big deal. Look, if you're having issues with your health, nothing is more expensive than regret, you know. Be proactive, get on board. This stuff helps to optimize mitochondrial function. It promotes a balanced immune response. It boosts energy. Definitely boosts energy. I know that. Mental clarity, stamina, supports athletic performance and recovery, promotes skin vitality, assists with mild memory loss. It does a lot, man. That's why I think, you know, I think it's a pretty interesting product. If this is one of the first times you're hearing about it, you're never going to hear about it on the nightly news. We know that. But if this is the first time you're hearing about C60, go to shopc60.com and read about it. See what you think. It's interesting. It's fascinating. Use the promo code MACRO on your way out to save yourself some money. Links are in the show notes for all of this stuff, so I don't expect you to write it down. I do have to say these statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent, or mitigate any disease. Shop C60.com, promo code MACRO. Well, I was listening to Bill Cooper. Rest in peace, Bill Cooper. He was murdered by the police in December of 2001. He rightly predicted the Osama bin Laden attacks in New York City 3 months before they happened. Called him out by name, said they'll blame it on Osama bin Laden. But don't you believe it. And I was listening to Behold a Pale Horse, like an audio version of it. I don't know if it was the full audiobook. Didn't seem long enough to be the full audiobook. It was 3 hours, but, you know, like my Controlled Demolition audiobook is like, I think it's like 19 hours. And I wasn't getting the full book, but I was listening to him. And sometimes all you have to do is listen to that old guy and everything starts to make a whole lot more sense, you know? And he's, you know, he's going on and on. You have to kind of realize that the book was written in the early 90s. And so, and I know where I was in the early 90s, I was in college. So I just sort of rewind to like, okay, when I was in college, that's what this guy was saying was going to happen in the future. Now, I think if I listened to Bill Cooper when I was in college and heard him talk about what was coming in the future, I might have been fitting him for a tinfoil hat myself, you know? But you listen to him now and you go, oh my God, I mean, this guy was all over the target. I mean, he had a really good idea of what was happening. Now, he had a background in the military, okay? He was in that system, you know, on the inside of the system. Then he clearly came outside of the system. They don't appreciate that. It's one thing I found. It's like you can criticize the governments or these groups or the military or academia and or the media. You can criticize these groups as an outsider and they'll leave you alone for the most part. Where they really come after you is when you used to be one of them and you leave and then you criticize them. They go after you hard. You see this with like James Lindsay. I mention him a lot on this show because I think he's great. And he just got booted off of Twitter. And it's like they fear him the most because he was like an academic. And he saw how crazy academia was. And he was right. And then they were writing all these, I don't know if you know the history of like what they were doing, but they were writing these fake academic like dissertations on like rape culture at dog parks and, you know, and crazy shit, right? But it was all fake and they were submitting it. And I mean, they're writing it in a way that would look super real. Like, you know, white supremacy is best encapsulated by spending some time in a dog park and you can see this rape culture going on and everyone, you know, they're writing this laughing, you know, and like the people reading it, they're reviewing it are like, this is so stunning and brave. We got to give you awards or anything. And he was fucking with them, right? But then he left and started attacking them and they got really mad. So I mentioned that because with Bill Cooper was in the military. Then he leaves and starts talking about how it works in the military and they did not appreciate that at all. I mean, it's easy to not appreciate what Bill Cooper was saying because he was blowing the lid on a lot of things, but I think it felt like it held more, it had more weight because he had a background of being in the military. Now, I'm not trying to say he wasn't a general or anything like that. He wouldn't be in a position to know everything, but he knew a little bit and he had thoughts on it. So they didn't like him. And when the establishment doesn't like you, I mean, I start warming up to you at that point. and Bill, so I'm listening to this Bill Cooper audiobook, and it gets to a point. He gets to a point where I'm listening and I'm doing other stuff. You know, I'm typing, I'm writing, I'm doing something else, but I'm listening to it at the same time. Probably not paying the most attention to it, but out of the blue, I heard something, and I was like, I had to stop it, I had to back it up, I had to listen to it again, and I thought, oh, okay, this is crazy. Then I backed it up a third time, and I wrote it all down. I wrote out everything he said because I thought it was important to hear what he was saying back then. Now we're talking about 30 years ago. His book is 30 years old. I thought it was important to hear what he wrote 30 years ago about where we're going, about what these people have planned for us, about how they view us, about the plan that they have for us. And it would be one thing if he said this last year, you know, you'd be like, well, yeah, I mean, we know a lot of this stuff, but I want you to just understand that if you heard this guy say this, or you read it in his book 30 years ago, you'd probably think he was a bit crazy. So I'm going to read this, and I want you to understand that how Bill Cooper saw the future playing out. And God, I mean, what I wouldn't give to hear Bill Cooper and George Carlin talking about, I told you so, you know? So let me read this. And I may have to read it a couple times during the course of this, just as a reminder. And you can use, I don't know if you've heard enough Bill Cooper, but when I read Bill Cooper, I hear him I hear his voice in my head. So this is what he said. Following World War II, something happened that was to have tremendous significance for all mankind. The intellectuals took note of this happening and brought it to the attention of the world power elite. The elite were severely shaken by the predicted repercussions of this event. They were told that by or shortly after the year 2000, the total collapse of civilization as we know it and the possible extinction of the human race could occur. It could occur, that is, if we did not destroy the Earth with nuclear weapons before then. They were told that the only things that could stop these predicted events would be severe cutbacks to the human population. The cessation or retardation of technological and economic growth. The elimination of meat from the human diet. Strict control of human reproduction. A total commitment to preserving the environment. Colonization of space. And a paradigm shift in the evolutionary consciousness of man. Now I'm listening to this while I'm doing other stuff. And I hear the term the elimination of meat from the human diet. And I go, what did he just say? Because look, it's never really been a big topic. There's vegetarians, there's vegans, you know, there's people that see how we eat or what we eat differently. It's no big deal. There's always been that. But I don't, you know, in vegetarians, some of them are very pro-vegetarian and they want to tell you don't eat meat and everything. And they have their reasons for that. And I'm fine with that. I respect that. Whatever they, you know, I get it. But the elimination of meat from the human diet is a relatively new thing coming from the globalists. And so when I heard that, I was like, that's a very specific thing that they're going to eliminate. Now, and again, 30 years ago, he wrote this, and you read this and you go, yeah, okay, whatever. But now when you hear this, when you hear him talking about this stuff or writing about it, and he says, the elimination of meat from the human diet, and then goes immediately into strict control of human reproduction. I go, okay, we've got the meat issue, fake meat, lab-grown meat. You know, we're going to get into this. We've got human reproduction, kind of a big topic these days, wouldn't you agree? At least in America, Roe versus Wade and all that stuff. Everybody's a million genders, you know, reproduction stops and a total commitment to preserving the environment. Oh, you mean like the green energy stuff? So when you go through this list, what you realize is that he was onto something. I mean, 100%. So what I wanted to do was go through his list and kind of see where we are. Because he rattled off quite a few things. You know, he's talking about collapse of civilization. I mean, you know, he said, right, you know, after the year 2000. Well, after the year 2000, did you feel like the collapse of civilization was going to happen? Probably not. I didn't. We had Y2K, and that was kind of weird for a minute. You know, like, oh, are all the computers going to shut off? And then that didn't happen, and everything was fine. Then we had 9/11. And that certainly felt like the world was changing, but I didn't feel like the total collapse of civilization was happening. I did wonder, well, if we decide we're going to nuke Iraq for some reason, you know, because weapons of mass destruction or whatnot, then I did wonder that, well, that could definitely be a pretext, you know, towards ending civilization, but that was never really threatened. I never felt like, I mean, they used depleted uranium, which is despicable and a war crime and unforgivable, but I never heard discussions of nuclear weapons. I think they've used them though. I think they've used tactical nukes in some of these places, but I obviously can't prove that. But I never really felt that civilization was going to collapse. I'll tell you what, though. I feel like now, today, it's at least on the dry erase board as a possibility. I'm not going to assign a huge percentage to it right now, but let me tell you something. if the SPARS pandemic document turns out to be true, and the vaccines do indeed wind up killing the people that took them, collapse of civilization is on the table. It's not to say civilization as it's itself, like all people go away. But if you lose, let's just say the number's 50%. If you lose 50% of the people on the planet in 5 years, that's a collapse of civilization. I mean, you don't have people to work the machines or fly the planes or anything. Everything goes back to, like, you know, everything gets reset. So now you look, now you know, so if you read this, you know, Bill Cooper writes the book in the early 90s, you read this in the early 2000s, you go, yeah, maybe, but still doesn't seem like a priority. Doesn't seem like any of these things are imminent. You read it in 2022 though, and you go, yeah, this seems like a lot of this is happening. So let's get into this. Let's get into where he was right on this. He's talking about cutbacks to the human population. Well, what have we seen recently with regard to cutbacks to the entire, you know, to the human population? We've seen, I don't know how many episodes I've done that have a depopulation thread running through them. A lot of them. And probably the reason is because most of these organizations have a depopulation agenda. Makes sense to talk about it. We've seen sterilization majorly involved in this. We have seen cutbacks to the human population happening through, it's a more delayed reaction, but happening through GMO foods and seeds. I mean, these are poisons. Genetically modified foods are poisonous. They're not food. It's food in the P-H-O-O-D sense, you know, fake food. These are not nutritious. They're patentable seeds, you know, they're there to make money, but they make money off the seeds, but they also take real food out of circulation and put the plebes on peasant food, you know, which is fake food. And so everybody's sick and nobody can really develop fully. And you're just less than if you grow up on a diet of fake foods, be that GMOs or Cheetos, you know, your body is just not going to be optimizing. So it affects everybody, you know, it affects people. We've got cutbacks to the human population due to farmland. We've got Bill Gates involved in farmland. We've got weather manipulation. We've got chemtrails being sprayed. The group of people that called you crazy for talking about chemtrails, you know, look, they should be forced to watch John Brennan's presentation at the CFR, where he talks about how aerosol atmospheric injections are real and that the CIA has been doing it for well over a decade. It's not fake. It's not conspiracy theory. It's only theoretical to people that don't examine it and don't understand that it's real. That's happening. Chemicals, the chemicals that are being used, gender-bending chemicals, chemicals that are in food, all of these things are attacking the human population. Vaccines, pre-COVID, MMR vaccine is unbelievably dangerous for people. Just filled with poisons. Filled with them. And again, the pre-COVID, VAERS court has paid out $4.2 billion to settle vaccine-related claims. So anybody that says, oh, well, you know, you guys talking about vaccines being dangerous, you guys are all just out of your minds. Well, really? Well, why did VAERS pay out $4.2 billion? More than the Catholic Church has paid out to settle rape allegations against their priests. So we know that's a problem. It's an obvious problem. They paid out $4 billion. VAERS has paid out $4.2 billion. So they paid out more. And yet what? It's just, we're just supposed to pretend like it's a non-issue. It's a huge issue. In fact, the reality of VAERS is that based on the 2009 Harvard Pilgrim study, that showed that the number of people that actually report adverse effects to VAERS is about 1% of the people that actually experience adverse events. So if you had 100% reporting to VAERS of all of the people that were injured, then you would have 100 times more people reporting. And therefore, that $4.2 billion in payouts would more than likely look like $420 billion in payouts. Coming up on, it'd be roughly $500 billion. So don't tell me that vaccines are safe and effective. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. Because it's provable that it's not. And for all you people that say it doesn't cause autism and there's no proof that it ever causes autism. Look, it doesn't cause autism in every person every time, but it does cause autism in some people sometime. And it is on the list of known side effects for some of the vaccines. Bet you didn't know that. I have one of the inserts on it. You fold it all out on that insert. One of the things buried in there, it's obviously not the first one, is autism. So they list it. So let's not pretend that that's not happening, you know, that the cutbacks to the human population aren't happening from a variety of different directions, including vaccines. But that's a realistic one. That's a realistic component of this. Now, there are some that are a little bit more, I don't know, I don't want to say unrealistic, but just less known or less of a real issue, like dimming the sun. You know, Bill Gates is talking about like, well, we'll go up there and we'll just dim the sun and we'll lower global populations by a couple percentage. Look, it's crazy. I don't think that's ever going to happen, but they're talking about that. They're talking about, you know, we've got directed energy weapons, we've got wars and famines. I mean, all of these things contribute to cutbacks in the human population. So when they're talking about a total collapse of civilization as we know it and a possible extinction of the human race, well, yeah, of course. What do you think is going to happen to the human race when you're sterilizing them and feeding them fake food and letting one guy in charge of the real food in the farmland and that same guy is in charge of the seed vault in Norway and that guy is, you know, you've got weather manipulation where you can make it rain in one place and make it never rain on the crops. Yeah, I mean, of course, this will all contribute to lowering the human population. Let's move on to the next section that he mentioned, which was the cessation or retardation of technological growth. This is an interesting one. And this is one where you know that he really had an inside track on this, because the assumption would be that I would make, I think a lot of people would make, especially if you're writing this in 1992, is that technological growth is just going to keep continuing. You know, you've got Moore's Law, you know, talking about the improvements in processing capabilities, like doubling every 18 months or so. And so you've got this sort of, this technology that you create today will be used to make the technology that exists 10 years from now. And then that technology that doesn't exist today will then be used to make the next. So it's exponential growth of technology. So when someone comes out and says that, to expect a retardation in technological growth, that's not normal. That's not a normal pattern. We're on a curve going up towards technological advancements, not retardation. So to say that is really outside of the box. But then look what we're doing now. Look at what all the talk is. Moving away from fossil fuels. That is not an advancement of technological growth. That is a retardation of our current technologies. I mean, if you remove fossil fuels right now, we're back to the Stone Ages. The green guys with solar and wind and all of this can only do so much. And I'm all for alternative sources of power. I'm into having a variety of sources of power so that you don't get into a situation where one group can decide, oh, well, we're turning off the fossil fuels and now everybody's collapsing. No. We have to have redundant systems. We have to have power happening and being generated by all sorts of things. We've got to bring back nuclear power too. it's safe, and it always troubled me that the globalists don't like nuclear power. So of course it makes me go, oh well, let me check that out. I had always been told through the media, which of course we know, I'd always been told like Three Mile Island and Fukushima this is what happens, man. You get power plants in Ukraine that blow up and contaminate an entire place for 10,000 years and all that. And you go, oh God, that sounds terrible. Well, then you dig in and you find, well, nuclear power is really safe, surprisingly safe, really cheap to make. Small physical footprint for the facilities, unlike solar that needs, you know, a broader, it needs like mountains. You can cover all these mountains with solar panels or anything. Technology is just not there. So when you see us trying to move away from fossil fuels, which is weird because we had always been gung-ho fossil fuels, then you understand, in a push towards this green agenda that isn't ready for prime time yet, you go, what are you doing? What are you guys doing here? Are you trying to destroy technological growth? I mean, the answer I think is yes, apparently. You're doing all the things, you're proposing all the things to move away from fossil fuels and push this green agenda that isn't ready, technologically ready. It's not ready infrastructure wise. The power grid's not ready. Like, they're talking about like everybody needs to get an electric car. You can't all plug your electric cars in at the same time in California. You'll destroy the grid. The grid's already having problems right now. So these are idiotic ideas. So when you start to hear about this plan, this thing, there's going to be retardation of technical growth, you go, well, that just sounds inconsistent with reality. Like that's the one part of this that doesn't sound like it should be part of this at all. In fact, I would think you would want unregulated technological growth that they control, and yet they don't. They want to suffocate technological growth. I think maybe because they fear it. I think they fear that once this technology gets to a certain point, then they can no longer control the masses anymore. It becomes like it evens the playing field for the little guys, and they don't want that. I can understand that as being their psychotic reasoning for wanting to get away from technological growth. But think about where, you know, so when Bill Cooper says this 30 years ago, you go, that sounds crazy. Like, that doesn't even make any sense. Okay, you're right. It doesn't make any sense. Now read it today. And you go, well, are they trying to retard technical growth? Well, let's dig in. They're moving away from fossil fuels. They're pushing this green agenda that has no bit, that's decades away from being ready. They're using the threat of carbon taxes for behavior modification. They're definitely trying to curb the growth there through carbon taxes. You know, otherwise it'd be like, build more planes, build more cars. They're saying build fewer planes, build only electric cars. That, you know, they know that ESGs are going to absolutely gut innovation. They know that. It's part of the reason for it. So now all of a sudden, we're in this new era, the post-COVID era, right? That we're currently in, which is an era of extinction rebellion. People, we're all going to die. Climate change is going to kill us. We have to chain ourselves to the Mona Lisa or whatever. You know, we have to glue ourselves to this highway in Germany. Here comes the dump truck. Maybe you shouldn't have glued yourself to the highway, dumbass. You know, we're moving. Our America's technological growth, look, we've already outsourced all that. Bill Clinton got right on that in the mid-90s with NAFTA. So we've outsourced all of our technological capability to China. So we've got all our tech in China. And what does that mean? What does that mean for us? Well, they only control almost all of our medicine. And between China and Taiwan, almost all of our chip manufacturing capabilities, and they make parts. They make stuff. That's the factory of the world. But here in America, they're destroying our growth. We're unable to grow. If you allow ESGs and the clean energy, green extinction rebellion, green New Deal lunatics to have their way, they'll turn us into North Korea, where nobody has any energy, and you have to eat the last cow, you know, and it's sad. It's sad what they've done there, but that's what happens when you destroy technological growth. What's next on this? He said that it was cessation and retardation, not just of technical growth, but of economic growth as well. So what is going on currently with economic growth? Are we seeing that? Are we seeing a push to grow economically? Or are we seeing a collapse? I think we're seeing a collapse. I mean, we have supply chain failures like crazy. It's not limited to America. It's on the shipping end of China, on the receiving end in America. Economic growth with wheat issues in Ukraine, fertilizer issues in Russia and Canada. This is a recipe for economic decline, of course. When you have all the supply chain issues, the dollar, the value of the dollar is being hyperinflated away, hyperinflation itself, ESGs being brought in to kill not just businesses, but kill entire industries. If you're not doing it the way Larry Fink wants you to do it at BlackRock, then BlackRock's not going to invest their money to buy stock in your company, or the ESG people aren't going to be giving out loans to your company because you're not participating in the destruction of your own self-interest through signing on to these environmental, social, and governance, this scam that they're running. If you choose not to sign on to that, they will destroy you by cutting you out of the system. So if you sign on to it, you'll destroy yourself by working against your own best interest. If you're a car manufacturing company like BMW working in Germany, I mean, think of the mental gymnastics you have to go through there. You're part of Germany. So now you're told you have to hate Russia. Your BMW, you have to pull out of Russia, which you did. You have to sanction Russia. And then Russia says, well, we'll turn off the power to you. And you go, fuck, we can't make cars if we don't have power. So you need them, but you're pulling out of them. But you're virtue signaling to NATO, and you're virtue signaling to BlackRock to please invest in us. And please, NATO, we're doing what we're supposed to do because we're a German company and we're operating in Germany, and Germany's part of NATO. And you're telling us we have to feel this way. So we're trying to feel this way. But it's really fucking hard when Russia is cutting off the power to us and we can't even make our widgets anymore. We can't make our cars anymore. So would you consider that to be retardation of economic growth? Because I would. I would say that is exactly what's happening. We have wars that are leading to shortages. Sort of, let's just take that and continue with the Russia-Ukraine situation. Wars leading to shortages. Hey man, Russia controls a lot of rare earth minerals. They have access to that. They obviously have access to oil, natural gas. You are asking for trouble when you take a big player in the global market for commodities, and you tell them that person's radioactive. You can't talk to them anymore. What are you doing? You're creating problems for everybody, but you're creating problems for yourself, and you are reducing economic growth. It might take a while. It might be a lagging indicator. It might take several quarters for it to really sort of be felt all the way through your country's GDP or a business's quarterly earnings. But eventually it'll catch up. Eventually it'll show. It'll show itself in the form of, we sold, lower revenues. We sold fewer BMWs this year, and the stock price goes down. What are you going to do? You're going to say, Larry Fink, hey, we got on board with your ESG stuff and look what it did to us. It cut our stock price in half. You owe us. You said you'd buy our stock. Well, fucking start buying it. Because our stock prices, these companies are slitting their own throats, by the way. Retarding economic growth with carbon taxes. I mean, this is we got into this in the climate trace episode where I sort of invented like a fictional scenario where your car, where you're making car windshields or something. And in order to be on board with the ESG, be ESG compliant, you have to reduce your carbon output. And in order to do that, you have to buy some super expensive machine that attaches to something and reduces, you know, some fucking scam. All that stuff is going to cost these companies money, which is going to make them have less money to invest in research and development or marketing, or everything is going to be impacted. Because when you have to spend $100,000 on some carbon reducing contraption that you know is a scam, that's $100,000 that you have less to spend on R&D, marketing, pay your salespeople a little bit more, lower the price of your product so that more people can afford, whatever, you know, it impacts. It's money that you have to spend on something that you would never normally spend it on. But it really does a number on economic growth. Digital dollars, build back better. I mean, build back better is by design to reduce economic growth. It is the core of what it's about. It's about destroying everything that currently exists in order to build it back better with questionable materials and questionable philosophies. Build it back better in a way that works worse. Great. Yeah, I mean, listen, if the Biden administration is any indicator of what it's going to look like, it's going to be an unmitigated disaster, of course. But that's on brand. Climate change restrictions, price inflation, like economic growth retardation is happening currently. It will continue to happen into the future. And that's an unusual thing, because normally we have been operating, for better or for worse, you know, frankly, there's some problems with this infinite growth model that we've been on. And I'm not trying to say that we necessarily need to be on that. In fact, I would say that we don't need to be on the infinite growth model. But creating a situation where you're intentionally trying to slow economic growth as a means of making the world a worse place so that more people die and drop off of the planet. That is insanity. That's what they're talking about, though. So we move down into the to the one that you know, that initially kind of got my attention, which was elimination of meat from the human diet. Like, I heard that and I was doing, like I said, I was doing something else, and you hear that, elimination of meat from the human diet, and I go, you mean like Beyond Meat and You'll Eat the Bugs and all of that? Wow. Never has that statement been more relevant than today. In fact, if I had listened to that audiobook 3 years ago, as opposed to 3 days ago, it might not have rang like it did for me. But when he said elimination of meat from the human diet, he had my attention. Synthetic meat. Beyond Meat. Who's involved in that? Bill Gates. Farmer Bill Gates. Farmer Bill Gates. What a maniac. So it's fake meat. It's allowing one psychopath to control too much farmland. It is, you will eat the bugs. you will eat the bugs. Cricket manufacturing facility springing up in Canada. And you've got Nicole Kidman doing bits where she's like, oh, I'm going to look, I'll show you how I eat the crickets. And then you've got Robert Downey Jr. going on, I don't know, James Corden show, I guess, and showing like, oh, this is pureed cricket powder. It's filled with protein. What we do is we add this to the smoothie. And you go, what the fuck's going on here? What is this? None of you Hollywood assholes have an original thought in your head. So there's no possible way you guys all just decided to come up with this on your own. So stop that. Now, obviously, if you know anything about Nicole Kidman, you know about her pedophile dad, who I think was murdered. Anyway, he was running like a child trafficking operation. He's a bad dude. So she's got dark ties to a lot of nefarious shit. Robert Downey Jr., I don't know, man. He used to be a cokehead, but in Hollywood, that's just like sort of standard operating procedure. So I don't know what his deal is, but maybe, you know, like some of these guys don't even know what's going on. Like, I don't think they've figured out the plan. And some of them just do what they're told. But when I see proposals to eliminate meat from the human diet, look, I understand the vegetarian argument, and I would also confess that, especially in America, we have a very detached relationship with our food, especially meat. You know, it comes from, you know where it comes from, and you know what it is, but you don't like to think, a lot of people don't like to think about where it comes from and what that process looks like, because it's very messy, and it makes people feel uncomfortable and sad about the fact that it's from these animals, and there's a moral dilemma, and all that stuff is real and worth having a conversation about. But that's really not what they're talking about. They're talking about they're talking about it just not even being available, not even being an option, and this not being a preference. Not like, well, I prefer to not eat meat. Great. That's your preference. I respect that. I prefer to eat meat. That's my preference. Please respect that. They're saying there's no meat option. Like that it doesn't exist. Which look, bug protein is not the same as beef protein. And I'm no scientist, okay? But I do know that they're not the same types of proteins. In fact, insect proteins are not good for human beings. None of that stuff works for like, it doesn't work with our physiology. It works fine for birds. Birds are great. We're eating as many insects, you know, go for it. This is not a feasible or sustainable option for human beings if you want to keep them healthy. But if you want to make them sick, and you want to make them never able to fully excel, you want to deplete the cholesterol levels in their brain, which we need. You know, cholesterol gets a bad rap, but we need cholesterol for our brains. If you want to deplete that, you're going to have side effects. There's going to be issues that come from that. So you do that at your own peril. But of course, if you understand the plan, and you know, in the back of your mind, none of this is meant to actually make us, the people, better. It's about getting rid of us. So if you come at it that way, from that direction, knowing what the plan is, and you read this elimination of meat from the human diet, and then you say, well, that sounds weird, but I guess, you know, now I'm starting to see a real push to demonize meat. I'm seeing, you know, demonize everything, really. Milk, bio milk. You know, we've got the Bill Gates funded environmental hedge fund out there with money, you know, with Zuckerberg's money and Bezos and Bloomberg and all those guys, Soros and Richard Branson, investing in hedge funds that are then investing in synthetic meat companies and bio milk, making synthetic breast milk and all of this stuff. It's not accidental. It's part of an agenda. And you want to know, think about this in terms of like, yeah, you know, is it an agenda or is it just a coincidence? Here's where you might say, oh, it feels like a real weird agenda to me. Have you noticed lately the push in the mainstream media towards cannibalism? Have you heard that? Clearly an unusual recommendation. I think we can all agree on that. But also one that has been coming up more and more in discussion in these alternative media, and you go, or in the mainstream media, to which the alternative media is going, are you guys out of your minds? Like, we're not in, so we're going to eliminate meat from human diet because it's really bad for you. And then now you're suggesting, well, cannibalism really shouldn't be that taboo. And you go, shut the fuck up. Like, I know that's you, Tavistock Institute. I know what you're doing. You won't get me to, look, there's going to be some dummies out there that are going to be like, yeah, I mean, cannibalism is totally fine. Blah, 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 blah. So it went from strict, you know, went from elimination of meat from the human diet, which really got my attention, to the next one, which was strict control of human reproduction. That's been a topic, don't you think, lately? Abortions, birth control, Roe versus Wade, been a big topic. As we move into this new paradigm, they're going to start to reevaluate some long-held established beliefs. You know, the abortion thing all of a sudden got back, brought back onto the conversation. Strict controls of human reproduction. You mean like sterilization campaigns that the World Health Organization has been running in Kenya and elsewhere, Philippines? What else would you do if you wanted strict control of human reproduction? China's one child policy? They did that. Vaccines? Well, we've talked about that earlier. A lot of sterilants in the vaccines too, by the way, in case you didn't notice. Pushing 80 genders, that's a form of controlling human reproduction as well. 80 genders, I'm pansexual, I'm cake gender, all that stuff is a soft kill depopulation, long-term depopulation, evolutionary cul-de-sac, as George Carlin would call it. Those people aren't reproducing. I mean, a case can be made, good, but they're not reproducing. The push to everybody's gay, it's just a matter of how gay you are, you know, like this, all this agenda is pushing people into a life, you know, into a lifestyle choice that makes them either unattractive, definitely unattractive to reproductive mates. Just look at like the mugshot. Have you seen the compilation with like 100 Antifa members, like that mugshot? Just look at that and you go, oh yeah, that's a depopulation agenda just looking at them. Limp dick city. But that concept of like, we're all gender fluid and everybody's changing genders, and I don't want to name, you know, I don't want to have, if I have a baby, I'm going to let it pick its own gender. Look, this might take a little longer than like the outright murdering of people, but it is part of a depopulation agenda. Slow one. It's going to take this younger generation where like, I think 21% of people identify as being LGBTQ plus whatever. That is, that number is wildly inflated by people with mental illness masquerading as being multiple genders. It's also probably it's probably really creeping up in terms of the hormone induced, you know, the hormone changing chemicals that are in everything, the pesticides that are being sprayed, the chemicals that are being used for production running into the water system and coming in, you know, everybody's drinking it or eating it and it's turning the frogs gay and, you know, and all that stuff. And it matters, you know, it takes a while. We have sterilization campaigns going on right now that are wild. People pushing that, you know, as an option. We've got the Club of Rome. God knows we've done enough shows on the Club of Rome. USAID, Kissinger, outright talking about this in 1974, talking about how they're p- position towards their foreign policy position towards the third world is that of depopulation, says it in there. And the United Nations pushing this. So this is the control of human reproduction is everywhere. You know, you think you're in control, that maybe you are to an extent, but that's only if you're able to navigate the minefield of cultural programming that's happening through the groomers teaching kindergarten, the books that they're making kids read, the everybody, you know, My Two Daddies books and all this shit that's being pushed on this generation. It's going to affect human reproduction from a chemical, physical standpoint, and also from a societal, conceptual standpoint of, I don't want to have kids. How can I bring a child into this world? It's so crazy. Well, yeah, the crazy people are in charge, of course. I mean, there's plenty of reasons that you're going to come to that decision, but it's part of it. So they're definitely controlling human reproduction. And then that's not even taken into account, like the books that are written, you know, the population bomb by Paul Ehrlich in 1977, where he's writing about like what we should do is we'll quietly and covertly add sterilants to the water, and that so that everybody's sterilized, and then we'll have a lottery system where if you want to have a kid, you can submit into the lottery system, and we'll take a look at you and see if you're married, and make sure you're married, and make sure that you're financially feasible, and then then we'll enter you into this lottery, and if we pull your name out, then we'll give you the antidote, which reverses the sterilization. And you're reading this book, you're going, when are they going to take Paul Ehrlich to the fucking police station? We're not concerned about this guy. This guy is plotting mass murder. They're like, oh, well, he's on the team, you know. So what about this from Cooper's thing? A total commitment to preserving the environment. Would you not say that at this current moment, there seems to be a total commitment to preserving the environment? Now, it's fake. It's totally fake. And it's not actually going to preserve the environment. But it is undeniable that there is a commitment towards that. This, of course, I don't think that Bill Cooper is summoning, you know, angels that are coming to him and whispering in his ear, I think this is what's going to happen. He knows about the Club of Rome at this point. He knows all about them. He knows that they're going to use the threat of global warming as the pretext to convert everybody into a one world government. He knows this. And so this is not out of the realm of possibility. And the idea of a commitment towards the environment is shown in the climate hysteria, the eco-friendly everything. We've got carbon taxes. We've got CO2 reduction. We've got carbon zero concepts coming out. We have electric cars. We have ESG investments. We have behavior modification through ESG. We have Agenda 2030. We have no-go zones where they're talking about making parts of the earth uninhabitable by human beings. We've got the line in Saudi Arabia. Have you seen that dystopian hellscape, that big ass 140 kilometer long prison colony that Saudi Arabia wants to build, disguised as like a futuristic mall where you live, work, and play and die in the same place? No, thank you. I'm good. We have smart cities. I mean, look, there is a commitment towards preserving the environment. It's not an actual commitment. It's not really going to preserve the environment, but it is used as the pretext for that, because you can go a long way saying, look, we're trying to save the world. And you, if you're against us, then you're against the world. You're against saving the world. You're like, I'm not against saving the world, man. I'm just telling you that carbon taxes isn't the way to save the world. And that the people that are in charge of it are the worst people on the planet. And that it's a huge scam. But it's on his list. And it jumped out at me. Again, much like the meat, when they're talking about preserving the environment. You're like, well, you know, is he right? And you start to look around and you go, everybody's gone crazy
for the environmental movement. Now, of course, they're not. Again, we've done this over and over again. I love this planet. If I thought ESGs or carbon taxes or anything like that was going to make this a better place or improve the quality of life on this planet or preserve the planet for future generations, I would be in favor of it. It does none of those things. It's not about that. It's never been about that. But that doesn't matter. All that really matters is that people believe that it is about preserving the environment. What was next on that? The next one on the list was colonization of space. Of course, we have NASA. Never a straight answer. NASA, who, when they're not faking space station videos with green screens, which are so fucking embarrassingly obvious, and they're faking outer space where you can see bubbles during the spacewalks. It's an embarrassment. NASA should be ashamed of themselves. Actually, they should. The heads of NASA should all be sitting in prison cells for robbery, for stealing from the general public. But of course, NASA is just the public-facing space program. And I use that space program term very loosely. But there's others. We now have the battle of the billionaires and the contest to see who's got the biggest cock, right? We've got Jeff Bezos versus Elon Musk with SpaceX and Blue Origins. We start reading stories about, you know, there's almost $10 quadrillion of precious metals locked up in this asteroid. Now we need to start mining asteroids. And you go, oh, okay. We've got Skunk Works. We've got Secret Space Program, which Bill Cooper knew all about. We've got, look, the colonization of space is going to require a lot of money. Is there any stories that you recall of in the last, oh, I don't know, 5 years or so of money missing? Anything you can think of? Anything at all? Catherine Austin Fitz, Professor Mark Skidmore, Michigan State University. Yeah, well, they start looking into the numbers of the 17 major federal agencies, and they go through just two of them, Department of Defense and HUD, and they find $21 trillion missing. Or another way of putting that is $21,000 billion just missing. And that's only two of the agencies. They didn't get to the other 15. Well, they would have. But the United States government changed the accounting laws through FASB 56. So now everything is just redacted and they can just say whatever they want about where the money's coming and going. So colonization of space requires a lot of money. And then we just so happen to have trillions of dollars just disappear, vanish. If you've listened to the intro to this song or to this podcast, you can hear Rumsfeld announce that we cannot account for $2.3 trillion. Yeah. Well, maybe it's going to this. We know that Wernher von Braun warned against, not that he's the guy you trust the most, because he is an ex-Nazi who is running the Germans rocket program and running our NASA program. So, like, maybe not the best guy in terms of solid background for trusting, but I will say this, he at least would be a guy that would know the plan. So you have to deal with bad guys if you want to figure out what the other bad guys are working on. And he warned of weapons in space. He said, once space is weaponized, it is over. You've got the high ground, you know, rod of God technology. Watch that Tianjin explosion in China in 2015. If you can find that video of that thing going off, that is reported to have been a rod of God that hit that. It leveled the entire block. And not just a small block, too. I mean, it looked like a nuke going off. I can't prove that it was rod of God. Obviously, I'm not there and I don't have the information. But that was what it was speculated that caused it. And if that is the case, it was massive. So we've got, colonization of space is a real thing. And listen, depending on how weird you want to get, if you want to get into some some more obscure concepts surrounding the colonization of space, and might I direct you to the Farsight Institute that's doing remote viewing, and watch their special on Iapetus, the Saturn moon, and see what they found there. You want to talk about the hair on the back of your neck standing up, man. Listen to that. Listen to what they found there. Crazy stuff. Monoliths on Phobos. You know, there's colonization. There's stuff going on that we don't know about. So there's a lot to this. And so he wrapped up by saying a paradigm shift in evolutionary consciousness of man, right? That they, that was going to be the last thing that they mentioned was a paradigm shift in the evolutionary consciousness of man. Think of where we are right now. What is happening with our consciousness? Well, according to Yuval Noah Harari, we have no consciousness. That's just some outdated concept. And the idea of free will is ridiculous. That fucking guy. That guy should be in a cage for the rest of his life. He's a dangerous individual. We've got artificial intelligence all over the place. I'm talking about consciousness transfers. You know, the consciousness of man is extremely important. We're getting ourselves, we're sprinting into Brave New World, where our mind is being overtaken by these people. But the technology is coming in and replacing God, replacing the idea of a God. I'm not a particularly religious person, but call it what you will. They want the artificial God, the AI God, implantable technology, hive minds for most people, GMO people. You know, they want to inject you with mRNA technology to make you one deviation away from being an authentic, natural, organic human being, so you can be something else. I would consider all of this to be a paradigm shift in evolutionary consciousness of man, a very dangerous one too. So let me do this. Let me wrap it up with this. Let me reread it. I'm going to reread what Bill said. And after everything that we've just talked about, hear it again. Think about it in terms of what we're going through right now. See if this is a fit. Following World War II, something happened that was to have tremendous significance for all of mankind. The intellectuals took note of this happening and brought it to the attention of the world power elite. The elite were severely shaken by the predicted repercussions of this event. They were told that by, or shortly after, the year 2000, the total collapse of civilization as we know it and the possible extinction of the human race could occur. It could occur, that is, if we did not destroy the Earth with nuclear weapons before then. They were told that the only things that could stop these predicted events would be severe cutbacks to the human population, the cessation or retardation of technological and economic growth, the elimination of meat from the human diet, strict control of human reproduction, a total commitment to preserving the environment, colonization of space, and a paradigm shift in the evolutionary consciousness of man. Problem solving through depopulation, control and limit growth, limits to growth, the Club of Rome, anyone? Outlawing certain types of food, meat, organics, supplements, natural. Manage the reproductive systems of people, depopulation, sterilization, the trans agenda, culturally doing this. Environmental insanity. They certainly do put the mental in environmental, wouldn't you agree? The activists. A new space race, shifting perspectives in order to normalize insanity. It's all here. WWBCD. What would Bill Cooper do? I'll tell you what he'd do. He'd be screaming at us for sitting on our asses and not doing enough. That much is for sure. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions, and you can connect with me through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thanks, everybody.